B-Pod Studios.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
It's fired, and Krejci's drive, stick to side, out in front, Marchand shoots, he scores! The Bruins throw a pass to the bottom of the right wing circle, and Marchand had time to look, picked his spot, and whipped it inside the far post, a power play goal. Bruins 1, Devils nothing.
98.5 The Sports Hub, but we are Toucher and Rich, and is that him? Okay. Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the red-hot Boston Bruins. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Cassidy, hello. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, gentlemen. How are we?
We are doing well. So tonight you are playing the Carolina Hurricanes, and they are known for being silly gooses after games and doing stupid-ass things like playing Ring Around the Rosie.
I actually have no problem with that.
You and I might disagree.
NHL team?
I just think it's what they're being little silly gooses.
It breaks through the monotony, I guess.
If you find the game monotonous, then please. All right, but Mr. Cassidy, what do you feel about the post-game celebrations from the Carolina Hurricanes?
I'm not a huge fan, but I get it. They're in a market where they're, you know, a little tougher to draw fans. So, I it keeps them around. So, I think most teams are long gone by then. They're in the dressing room, so they don't even see it. So, not a big deal. I don't know if they'll do it in the playoffs. That'll be interesting, but we'll see if they get in.
If you saw one of your own players try to pull something like that off, would you have a word with them?
I think our leaders would, to be honest with you, they'd recommend they don't. There's celebrations now in the game. That's where it's changed a lot. I think you used to score a goal, you'd go hug the teammate to pass you the puck or, you know, something like that. Now you jump into the glass. You see that. I don't know if that started with the Washington Capitals there years ago or some guys take off a football wide receivers that started that. I don't know, but that's enough for me. I'm a little old school that way. I think you should go to your teammates first, personally.
That's right, and then beat the crap out of whoever's in the way. All right.
That's right.
All right, so Pasternak's injured, and we'll get to the timeline maybe on him. But when you first heard about how he got injured and he was coming out of a restaurant with teammates and he fell, were you pissed off?
No, I mean, I found out the next morning, and it happened at night, and then we found out, you know, it was just one of those things, an accident, and happens, and there's other teammates with him. Some of the, I think it was a sponsor's dinner that he's involved with, so we were just hoping it wouldn't be long at the end of the day, you know, how serious was it, so it took a few days to sort through that, but it looks like he's going to rejoin us here down the road, so that's good news.
Now, when obviously a guy like that goes down, your leading scorer, you know, there's part of you that's just like, oh boy, here we go. We're going to have to try to make this work. Are even you shocked at the results that you've gotten since he has been away?
Yeah. I mean, we had trouble scoring before consistently. We'd have our nights, and other nights it was a struggle. But it came together at the right time. I think, you know, our guys recognize that someone has to pick up the slack, particularly DeBrusk. He got hot at the right time. Our defense started scoring, McAvoy in particular. Fourth line pitched in, so all of a sudden you're able to overcome it. So it speaks a lot about our guys. You know, they knew we had to find it elsewhere, and they have so far. He'll only help us when he gets back because everyone loves Pasta. It's not like they're going to be upset that he's going to get his minutes back. But at the end of the day, it's made us a better team right now, a stronger team, and hopefully going forward.
So when he comes back, which line do you intend putting him on? Back on next to Krejci and DeBrusk, or will he be back on the first line? Because I don't know when someone comes back from an injury whether there's like a certain like pairing that you like, or I don't know how that would work. But where do you imagine him being once he returns?
I think it depends a little on the timeline. If there's time before the end of the year, probably with Krejci, because we never got a real good look at that. And that would move Johansson down with Coyle, which we'd be interested in seeing. If it's right at the going into the playoffs, you know, if there's something that lingers there, it might have to be with Marsh and Bergie because that's where he's had his most success. He's going to be a little behind. I don't care how much time he missed. You're going to be a little bit behind, so I think it'd be easier for him to catch up. He has more familiarity with them. So some of it will have to do with how many games we have left when he gets back in.
All right, so he's going to have to wear something on his hand, everyone's saying. Is that, in your experience, how difficult is that to adjust to?
I think there'll be an adjustment because he's a handsy guy. He trusts his hands a lot, strong on a stick. a lot of one-on-one hockey. So I assume, you know, there'll be gripping issues at first. Does that affect his one time or a shot? I don't know. He will have some time to work on it. So, listen, it's not going to help it, I can't believe, right? So, if anything, it might hinder it a little bit, but guys get used to stuff after a while. So, like I said, as long as he has a few games to get back into the swing of thing with all that, I think he'll be fine. So, hopefully he gets good news from his next doctor's appointment and has a little time to sort it out.
Just one last thing on Pastrnak. You said that, you know, you understood he was coming out of a sponsored dinner. What was his reaction to the team and to you when it came out that he was going to be injured and out for a while?
Well, he talked to Donnie first, and I think he was, you know, what I was told, he was close to tears. I mean, he feels he let the team down to a certain extent because it wasn't an on-ice injury. But, listen, the guys love – Pasta comes to the rink every day in a good mood. He's a hard worker. He's a team-first guy. So I don't think there was any resentment at all. He just felt bad he's letting the team down at a tough time going into the deadline. The team was – we're not on the roll we're on now, so you know, we weren't scoring as much. You figured we'd lose that part of the game, but you know, at the end of the day, we've been able to pick up the slack for him. So I think he feels a lot better now that we've, you know, been able to win some games without him and keep the ship kind of in control here.
We're talking to Bruce Cassidy, head coach, obviously, of the Bruins. Now, yesterday you talked about Tuukka Rask and the plans with Halak, and I find it interesting. I mean, you're estimating, obviously. You don't have to tell me that, but Halak, you said you'd split it 10-7, and I know Halak has played well. It surprised me, though, in saying that, how important is it to have home ice in the first round to you? And if things continue to be this close, would you play Rask maybe a little bit more?
It's very important, I think, to have home ice. It's not the be-all, end-all, but we saw last year, Game 7 is a big advantage. I think early in the series, teams can easily, you know, win, steal a game on the road and get one back. But it's Game 7, I think, where you really want it. And then we're comfortable with Jarl. I mean, his numbers are very similar to Tuukka's. He had a little bit of a hiccup there. I think it was January for a couple weeks. Pucks were getting through him. He sorted that out. So I think we're comfortable with both. Would we adjust it and go with the hotter hand at the end if need be? Absolutely. But we've kind of had a plan all year, and it's worked out for Tuukka well, and Jarl, obviously. So we want to kind of stick with it. So it'll be close to a 10-7 type of split. Would we veer off one way or another for the gamer? You know, I wouldn't say 2 or 3, though. We're not going to run him right into the playoffs because I think his game is fine as it is now. And unless we have a conversation, that's what he wants. But right now, I think he's comfortable with his workload. He's feeling good about his game, but also his, you know, his kind of fatigue or fitness level.
You know, Bruce, there's been a lot of talk about the makeup of this team and how they're a fun team to watch because as of late, they've, you know, on both ends of the ice, they've been playing hard. And I think one of the prime examples was Noah Achari, who I believe you were asked about it, where, you know, his face essentially exploded when the puck hit him in the mouth. I mean, both lips were split. He had several teeth knocked out and jostled. And so you had just written him off for the next game, correct? And did he come to you at that point and say, no, I'm playing?
Yeah, we actually spoke to the medical staff and the dentist. Said, listen, he's probably going to be in the chair for 4 or 5 hours, so don't count on him tomorrow because there'll be some residual, obviously, pain, you know, in his mouth, and he's going to have headaches. And so we thought, okay, you know, maybe the next game we'll get him back in. And we knew he's a tough guy, but he got a break because some of the damage they thought he could fix, they couldn't. It was worse. So we're just going to write those teeth off. and then, you know, we'll push a few around and all of a sudden stitch up the inside. And the next day he came in and I asked him, I said, you're still a little goofy from the pain med. Said, nope, not at all. I took some in the afternoon, nothing at night. I want to get in there. So that was that. Been a good part of our team, a little bit underappreciated. You know, his numbers don't jump off the page, but he's done a real good job playing against the other teams. Good players every night. He's physical. He sets the tone. Teammates love him. He's just that guy that you have to and be in the room to appreciate what he brings.
Is he still going to wear that big-ass Spaceballs helmet?
That's what I was going to say. Do you think he's a pussy for wearing a full face mask?
No. We've had a few guys wear it. It seems to bring good luck to them, to tell you the truth. Corrali had it on, and he was flying around and went to start at the Winter Classic. So maybe Wagner's next. He's the only one on the line that hasn't happened. He throws his face in front of a puck tonight. I don't know why, because he wants that thing.
Maybe in practice, everyone just kind of aims the wrong way a little
right,
bit.
Right. It's like you take it, so you only have to take it once, and then for the rest of it. I was just thinking about Cassidy there on the bench going, all right, you scored there at try with your pussy-ass face mask on. So that's what I thought. All right, so the trade deadline has come and gone, and you know, and you got the two pieces you got, and obviously everyone noticed or knew that you needed a third line center. During that day, how tuned in were you with the conversation Sweeney was having?
He was upstairs. We were in the office downstairs. He'd come down every, let's say, 45 minutes, half an hour, kind of update us on what was going on. I think there was a few different deals in the works that, you know, could have happened. Fairly typical, I think, when teams know you're looking. Maybe the ask was too much or another team had whatever, a better offer. But at the end of the day, you know, both of those conversations came up about both players we did acquire, how they'd fit in. And he went ahead and made it, and I'm happy he did. I think, you know, everybody wants the big fish, right, the biggest fish. But I think there was a lot of teams in on that stone, and then Vegas offered him that, you know, the max deal, and off he went. He was probably the biggest guy out there. Could have helped any team in the league. But we got two good guys that fit in well for us, are fitting in well for us in areas of need. So I thought he did a great job and not, you know, giving up too much down the road, what he thought would help us in the future, but dealing with stuff that helps us today, and we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, because if you look at what the possibilities were, you mentioned Stone, and then you talk about Nyquist, and he didn't want to come to the Bruins and all that. It seemed like, in terms of those bigger names, that Sweeney didn't have much wiggle room. But was there a point that day where you thought, oh, wow, there's a chance I might get this guy? And not saying you were disappointed or anything, but it didn't end up coming to fruition.
Not really. Those big names, I think, were, you know, probably, I don't know, you have to talk to Donnie at the end of the day. He never came to me and said, oh, we're real close on this guy or that. He's pretty good that way. It's like, what do you think if, you know, we go this route and it end up being Johansson at the end? Coyle was, I think, the day before, or a couple days before. That one was, I don't know if he's had discussions with Minnesota earlier because they were moving a lot of guys. It's usually a, you know, new GM. I have no idea, but that one happened a little bit earlier and an area of need, certainly. We tried different young guys. I thought they did okay at times, but not quite Charlie's pedigree and something we needed to fill, so happy he got it done.
As a player, Bruce, that's got to be a nightmare of a day, knowing that you could at any moment get traded. And with social media, it's got to be 10 times worse. Do you talk to your players, or do you keep them busy that day in order to try to keep their heads focused and not on, you know, the dread of what could happen with an impending trade?
Yeah, I don't talk to them. I think there's enough guys in the room that have been through it. The veteran guys will, you know, talk to the few younger guys. I think in our situation, we were looking to add, and usually that means, you know, prospects and picks, right? So you don't want to take off your own roster very often. It happens periodically, but so our guys are a little bit at ease there. I'd imagine it'd be more difficult if you were a team that was a little bit on the outs looking in, like the Rangers. I'm sure every one of their veteran guys was probably wondering, where am I going? And but for us, I think it was, you know, have to worry too much about it. Certainly.
Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
Hello?
Let's talk to them. Hello?
Oh, sorry, we lost you for like maybe like 5 seconds there. Sorry about that.
Oh, sorry. That might be my phone. I'm in the office. I don't know. but anyway, we didn't go over too much. Had a good practice. Guys probably got together. We had our lunch here and off they went because I don't think there was any a big issue with us moving anybody off our roster. But like I said, only the players can answer that. At the end of the day, we try not to bring up any more than what's already out there.
Well, Bruce, unfortunate news yesterday. Kevin Miller, he was downgraded to week. What do you know about his status and what was happening there?
Well, he had an upper body injury that we did. He played through it for a game, and then it got a little bit worse, so we thought he was fine. I think the original X-ray didn't show anything, and then an MRI did. So he's week to week now. We'll see him here at some point down the road, but we thought it'd be a day-to-day thing. We'd only miss a few games. It looks like it's going to extend, and it's been a tough year for Kevin that way. He's had a few injuries that you know, they got the puck in the throat there that we didn't think was much. All of a sudden finds out it's a little more than it is. Got to be very, you know, cautious with that one. So been a tough year for him in that regard. But he'll hang in there. He'll be back. And we've got some depth in the blue line. We're lucky there. John Moore stepped right in and done a good job for us. Stephen Camper's played well for us. So we're covered there, but we do miss him. He's a tough guy and a good team guy and a good hockey player.
And Char, at his age, had interesting comments that he didn't want to rest on the way out into the playoffs, that's hurt him before. Are you going to abide by his wishes?
Well, he's 6'9 and 250 pounds, so probably.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you, when he fought Kane, is there a part of you, because I know they're not your kids, and he's probably around your age, but is there a point where someone picks a fight with Chara and he drops his gloves where you get like a warm feeling of like, he's really going to kick the crap out of this guy?
Yeah, well, it happened in a hurry. And all of a sudden, Z was down. It was like, you know, you sort of take your eye off the play and go elsewhere, but all of a sudden he recovered, and good for him. I mean, you got to give the guy credit for trying to tangle with Z. I mean, that's, you got to have a lot of, you know, gumption to do that, or courage, whatever word you want to use. But at the end of the day,
I found out how hard it was for you to gather a word other than balls.
Yeah, I guess I was worried about earlier. I was like, "Are they going to be radio here?"
That's right. So, we get two dumps, so you're allowed one more. Yeah. We have two.
Oh, we're plenty past that last dump. We're fine.
Well, right. At the end of the day, it's good for Z. But we will listen. If he needs a rest, we'll give it to him. I think he just doesn't like to. He's a competitor. He wants to play every night. But if there's a back-to-back situation late in the year, he might do it with a few guys just for, you know, just to keep the other guys fresh and to give him a break. But at the end of the day, like I said, he wants out there to try to manage his minutes. But he's used to it. He's a guy that's, you know, his fitness level is through the roof. So it's not going to, I don't think it's going to bother him a lot. It might be the wear and tear of travel if there's some of that involved, or early game time following a later one that maybe he's not fully recovered. But other than that, he's played most of the games, or probably all of them, to be honest with you, unless we see the need.
All right, Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Boston Bruins, on what could be a historic streak right now as they play the Carolina Hurricanes.
Does it piss you off as well as you've been playing that almost no ground can be made up through the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Well, I didn't think anybody's going to catch those guys. They're solid. It was nice to see us play well against them the other night. Circumstances were what they were, but it doesn't matter. You still want to put your best foot forward. You know, they beat us last year, just to let them know that we're a pretty good club too. But even Toronto's right on our heels. It's a good division. And, you know, sometimes that brings the best out of you. You know, it's just the way it is. I mean, people are saying, well, if they're in their other division, the other division's won the Cup 3 years, you know, Pittsburgh twice, Washington. They're pretty good too over there. So I think the East has just become a better conference lately, and that's the hand you're dealt. Got to play.
All right. Well, Bruce Cassidy, congratulations on everything, and here's to continued success. And I need 8 tickets for the last game of the season. I'll pay for them, but just keep that in mind. All right.
How about Thursday? My family comes. I got young kids in the.
I have young kids too, and I need these tickets because.
Oh, there you go. We're in the same boat. All right. We'll just see what we can do.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. We appreciate it.
See you, man.
All right. Okay. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.